tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
We're all over here on our phones, like Snapchatting and tweeting, trying to keep the conversation going. Yeah, right. If you're tuning into AfterBuzzTV.com, you have come to the right place. This is the Survivor After Show for Season 31, Survivor Second Chance, Episode 6, Bunking with the Devil. I'm your host, James Wallington, and across the table from me is...
I am Susanna Kim. You can find me on Twitter. Please follow me. It's @Susanna_Kim.
She's showing me how to do our YouTube live chat right now.
So,
I'm Paige Bonanno. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter @PaigeBonanno. Thanks for joining us tonight.
So we're all on the live chat right now?
Yes.
Oh, this is so exciting.
We just got on it.
Yeah.
Great. I'm loading it up so right come now. Off. I know that there was a lot of conversation going on before we even went live. Mm. Let's go in and give some shout outs to Sheena123 per Sheena. Usual. Sheena123, Tori Brewster, Dan Bro, Joseph Boza, all the time, Charlie Rose, 214. Make sure I don't miss anybody. And of course, a shout out to the three of us because we're all still in the live chat.
Shout out. So, I was like, we already got a like before we even did anything. I was like, James, is that you?
My bad.
Maybe.
All right, so let's dive right into this episode, Bunking with the Devil. Overall thoughts. Paige, we'll start with you.
Okay. Bunking with the Devil, my overall thoughts. Well, I was just like really, obviously, I was just super annoyed and upset because I was totally blindsided by Wu going home as well, and he was my number one draft choice, so of course I'm going to be sad. But I just love Wu, and I just had a lot of questions with what was going on in everybody's mind when they decided to send him home. You know, why Sierra targeted Wu instead of Savage when she was mad at Savage, and just a lot of craziness, which we'll obviously dive into, so... Yeah.
Susanna, what about you?
Yeah, I just thought it was so entertaining. For me, like, I am heartbroken when blindsides happen, but for me, I just think it's so freaking entertaining. I love it. I soak it up. I'm just like, I loved it. It's terrible. It's, you know, chaotic. I love it.
It's what makes this show so good, because as a viewer, we're also sometimes blindsided, and as, you know, tonight's episode proved to us, we were blindsided by the results, although I was really relieved because Spencer's on my fantasy team. Sorry, Paige. So I was relieved that Spencer
I know, you are, you're
survived.
Like, yeah, Spencer. Spencer's still here. I love Spencer, but I just love Wu more.
I feel ya. So diving right into this episode, it started off with a little segment around Terry Dietz and some news that Jeff Probst delivered him. Some of the production crew and Probst pull up to the beach to deliver some unsettling news to Terry regarding his son Danny. The news was that both the wife and the doctor decided that they think it's serious enough, the condition that his son Danny is in, that he should go home to be involved with his family. And of course, it was a no-brainer for Terry to make that decision because, you know, family does come first all the time. Mm-hmm. So what did you guys think about this news that Terry was delivered in the middle of the evening?
Yeah, I mean, I think we kind of saw a little snippet of it last episode. Mm-hmm. Even you came in today saying like, oh, so this is going to be Terry's episode.
Yeah.
Like, what? Oh, yeah, you're right. So I think we kind of expected a little bit, but it was surprising that it was like right at the beginning of the episode. It was a little bit of a relief because I was like, oh, okay, so, you know, I mean, I am sad for him and, you know, whatnot, but business is business. You need to take care of your family. Like, yeah, there's no question. Like, just like you said, he was so quick to say, oh, I'm going to go home. And I love that. It was so admirable. Of course, like the little Survivor fan in me was like, oh, good. Like, you know, that means we still have, you know, some more going on in the show that, you know, that they just sent him home really quick. They kept it really clean. You know, everyone was sad, but yeah, they definitely still kept going with the show. They weren't, you know, they weren't like, oh, does that mean no one's going to go home? You know, there's no question about that. Yeah, so good. We're just going to keep going, so.
And you're right that it was better that happened in the beginning of the episode because otherwise, like, the whole time we would have thought that
like, when
it wasn't going to
come up.
Right,
yeah,
and then at the end.
Is that going to mess up?
Yeah, and honestly, like, it was a really heartfelt moment because I like started tearing up because you saw everybody else, you know, they're asking all the parents, you know, how would you feel if this was your child? And everybody pretty much started crying. Like they all felt for him, you know, they've all been out on this journey and they all want to win so bad, but they all know that family comes first. So
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, you know, everyone on the tribe, when Terry delivered the news to them in the shelter, Cass was showing quite a bit of emotion because mm-hmm. she is also a parent. And she mm-hmm. said, I think you'd have to be a parent to understand this is worse than any medevac. Like, this mm-hmm. is something you wouldn't even wish on your, you know, worst enemy.
Right. Right.
Like, when it comes to family, it's such a serious matter that, of course, mm-hmm. everyone was supportive with Terry's decision to pull himself from the
Terry.
Game.
Totally, yeah.
And then Keith is all like, let's bring it home for him.
Oh, yeah.
Let's bring him on home.
I love Terry. I hope that everything's going well. It seemed like I'm glad we got that little snippet at the end of the episode because mm-hmm. now we saw his son. We saw that everything was okay, which is great.
Well, so. Speaking about the little snippet at the end of the episode, you know, with checking in with Terry and his son, Danny, there's an actual like 2-minute length video on CBS.com that does give a full update regarding Danny Dietz and his condition and a little bit about, you know, Terry and where they're at as a family now.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to tweet that link right now. So everyone in the live chat, if you're interested in watching it later on this evening, or if you want to watch it right now, by all means. So I'll be tweeting that link out, and it's a really good clip to watch so you can get a little bit more insight as to what really happened and how Danny needed a heart transplant.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Serious surgery.
Wow.
So yeah,
I'll be tweeting that out. That's terrifying.
Right. I'm tweeting it right now.
Right now. All right.
Great. So once this news was delivered, the like Jeff said, Survivor just keeps moving. It doesn't stop. So the game is moving on, and they all show up to the beach before Takeo even got to the beach. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like, you could even see it on the faces, like, what's going on here?
Right.
Why
mm-hmm.
is Takeo not already here? Once Takeo walks up, Spencer does make that statement of, wow, Takeo's here, minus Terry.
Right.
So that's when it has, like, this more of a group discussion about Terry and the news that happened. And more emotion is happening on the beach. We see Savage and Wigglesworth and Sierra just opening up about being parents mm-hmm. and how... I think Savage said it best that, you know, we all love this game to our core, but that's family. Mm-hmm. And family's bigger than all of this. Mm-hmm. So what did you guys think of that moment of reminiscing between all of the contestants?
Yeah, I thought it was sweet. It was nice, too, because when would we have ever really gotten a moment like that, you know? It
kind
of, and also because it was right before the new, like, switch-up, sort of. Mm-hmm. It was nice to, you know, just get a good... Not that it felt good because everyone was sad, but it also was kind of good for them. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like it might have made, you know, some of those relationships a little stronger just to see, you know, a little empathy shared
right.
for something that, you know, they obviously all cared about. So
I think it all like put everything back into perspective for all of them, you know,
totally.
Like, okay, we are at this game, but, you know, anything can
There's
happen.
Priorities.
Like Cass said, anything can happen to anybody at any moment. Like mm-hmm. it could be any one of us. And I actually didn't know that Sierra had a daughter. For some reason, so I'm glad that like it's cool to like be able to see all that stuff, you know.
And actually, see her get some airtime.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Jeff checks in with all the individual tribes. Joe says, you know, the news about Terry took the wind out of our sails a little bit, but there's still a game here, and we're gonna do them proud. Jeremy talks about how the Bayonne tribe is a nice little family that they've got going on here. And then Savage, checking with the Angor tribe, says, this four right here, unbelievably tight. We can't wait to keep up with our winning streak. Mm. Lo and behold, as Survivor does best, keeping the contestants on their toes. You know, we have three very tight tribes, Jeff says, but that's mm-hmm. one thing about Survivor is everything just keeps moving forward. This infamous three words, drop your buffs.
Oh, yeah.
Again.
So good.
The three most beautiful words right. for Savage. Drop your buffs.
We have new Takeo, which has Wigglesworth, Cass, Spencer, Sierra, Abby, Wu, and Savage. And then on the new Bayonne tribe, Tasha, Wentworth, Steven, Kimmy, Jeremy, Keith, and Joe. And this is when Spencer's like, this is the second switch we've had this game. Mm-hmm. This is a cluster...
Expletive.
But it really is, because there's been so many relationships
yes.
that have developed since day one. You know, now they're 16 days into the game. There were relationships that developed before they even got
one.
To the Cambodia. They were alliances being formed probably on social media, you know, via text message before they were all sequestered. And then once they got their new tribes, those relations started to develop. Then the new switch happens with three tribes. Those relationships start to develop. So it really is, Spencer put it the best way, it's a cluster.
He's basically saying that none of these relationships, like, matter anymore because we're all back in the same position at the beginning, you
know? Pretty much. Everything's in the air.
We have Cass talking about boldly out there that she's a little hesitant about being on the same tribe as Spencer.
I'm surprised she just said that, like...
Yeah.
Right at the beginning.
And even Spencer's all like, all right.
All right.
Here we go.
I know. I was kind of like, oh, okay. So that's a new episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Cass, what happened? All the way up until now, we're all about redemption Cass. Exactly. She was being so sweet, playing all nice. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, there she is. You're right. That's Cass.
And even Jeff is calling out Wentworth saying, you know, you're the only original to Kale on this new Bayonne tribe. And mm-hmm. Wentworth's like, well, you know, I've, you know, developed some relationships on the tribe before this. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that'll carry over. But then, of course, Jeff moves forward talking about the reward and what they were winning. Fried chicken, macaroni.
Oh, my God.
So delicious. My mouth is
literally sounds good to me right now.
Right?
I haven't been on the beach for 16 days.
And, of course, for dessert, none other brownies.
Brownies as big as their fists.
Brownies. So I love all the, I guess, the duels that happened in the slip and slide reward challenge. First up was Jeremy versus Savage. Obviously, two really strong contenders in the competition that everyone sees as physical threats. Neck and neck. And as Probe said, that is as close as it's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, Jeremy pulls through. Oh. Right, was Jeremy
the first one?
Jeremy was against Savage.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but I forgot who won that. I didn't.
Who won? Jeremy Savage?
Yeah.
Jeremy
by
did.
Yeah, they were the first ones.
That's
super
right.
Freaking split second.
Then the next team up was Cass versus Steven.
Oh my God, wait. Me and Susanna were dying. I just love Steven. He's just so adorable and, like, just so awkward when he's, like, running. But he's so cute.
The editor saw it, too, clearly, because they gave us a nice, beautiful shot of him just running down.
Right.
It was
and when
so,
he
like,
hit the
genuine and,
the
like,
bottom.
It was
yeah.
cute. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you know, Steven, obviously, I think his insecurity shows in challenges, and that's mm-hmm. probably why he doesn't perform well.
Yes, and that Jeremy called it out, too.
And Jeremy was like, look, dude, you know, you got to have confidence
exactly.
in yourself. We have confidence in you, so you need to have confidence in yourself. And mm-hmm. I was like, dang, mm-hmm. really calling it the way he sees
well,
it.
Well, Steven even told says him. Right away, he's like, you know, I'm kind of nervous again because I'm with all these alpha males. Again, talking about all the alpha males that are there, you know, like, you can obviously see that he's not that confident
mm-hmm.
with being with all these people or just even in himself as in general. And
right.
Jeremy called them out.
And it could ultimately be Steven's demise. I really do think his
yeah.
insecurities
I mean, we already
are
started
be
seeing
gonna,
it. Sorry,
know.
Yeah.
No,
like,
but
when
his demise.
When he started, like, talking a little bit more about, like, making plays and, like, you know, trying to do this and that,
mm-hmm.
it was already like he was getting down on himself. He was like, oh, you know, I can't get anyone on my side.
Yeah, if I can't do this.
Like, well, not with that attitude.
Right.
Like, you're not going to get anything then.
Oh, and that was, yeah, he's like, you know, if I can't even take control of my own tribe, you know, this is really serious for me and really getting emotional that he can't get people on his side to go with him, which was kind of sad.
Tori Brewster and Charlie Rose 214 in the live chat both give their love to Steven. They both said, I love Steven.
Yeah.
So, all right. The next showdown we have is between Kimmy and Abby Maria, which was hilarious because they both obviously didn't really go far down the slip and slide.
Right.
And then at the end, Kimmy, it looked like it bounced on the pole and then bounced right off. But Abby just threw her thing down and started walking back to the mat thinking that she already had lost.
Yeah. That shows us Abby's personality right there.
That's
what I was telling Tiana. I'm like, you know what? Like, if she would have just kept walking back, like, it made me so angry that she won after that. You know?
I
wish that Kimmy would have just pulled it out because that would have been Abby's fault because she shouldn't get down like that and like mm-hmm. jeopardize her whole tribe for a mistake that she made and, you know, get all upset. Like,
exactly.
That's not how you're not a team player when you're doing that.
Yeah.
You're
thinking about yourself. Not to mention, look alive. Like, pay attention.
Right.
Like, what are you looking at?
It took like a good 5 seconds for them, like,
right.
as of her walking away for her to even realize what was going on.
Exactly.
I just wish she wouldn't have won right there.
Oh, yeah. Abby Maria. Well, since we are on the topic of Abby Maria, this is probably why this episode is one of my favorites already of the season. There was
no
Abby Maria airtime.
None of her.
None.
She almost came off sweet because we didn't see any of her.
Exactly. She didn't open her mouth.
Quiet
and I loved
just
it.
Just playing
exactly.
along.
Exactly.
No offense, Abby Maria.
Oh, Abby.
Of course, though. Her personality is still shown in that little thing. Like,
like, let's talk about the showdown that we have all been waiting for. To talk about.
Oh,
I mean.
God.
Woo
Melt
versus
me.
Joe.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of
yes!
course, Kelly Wentworth saying exactly what all the viewers were thinking. Oil up Joe.
Oil up Joe. Do you guys see Tasha's face on that, too?
She was like, how can I?
And Woo, what about when they showed that shot of him, like, sliding down, like, with his face, like, right in the camera? I was like, this is so Woo. Like, just right into it. Like,
going
he just looked so cute. Yeah.
And that was a really fun showdown to watch, too, because they, both of them are challenge beasts, and they've both been put up on that pedestal of being physical strength competitors in the competition.
They
so.
Both went all the way down, the entire thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, didn't even have to get up, nothing.
Oil up Joe.
Oil up Joe.
when Job pulled it out.
Heck yeah.
Pulled out a win,
but Job. This is when it became tied. This is when the showdown really happened between the two Kellys, Wigglesworth and Wentworth.
Loved it.
I was pulling for my girl Kelly Wentworth, but
I was pulling for Wigglesworth.
I was happy that Wigglesworth didn't let down her tribe.
Yeah.
I was very happy about that.
Yeah, it's rough. Like, I cheer for them, but in totally different like ways and reasons. Right. Like, I respect them in such different ways. Both Kellys. I love them
old school Kelly, new school
so different.
Kelly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
With that said, New Takeo was victorious and walked away with this feast of a reward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Back at camp is when we start to see the rivalry between Cass and Spencer kind of develop. They're talking about, you know, what it was like back in Cagayan. Mm-hmm. Is it going to carry over in Cambodia? Mm-hmm. Spencer goes, I have to do the seemingly impossible, and that is to interact with Cass.
Mm-hmm. My arch nemesis.
My arch nemesis. Yeah. Most of my favorite parts of this entire episode were the interactions between Cass and Spencer.
Me too.
Because you can tell that there's so much deep-rooted history between the two of them that it made it very compelling to watch as a viewer. Mm-hmm. So I don't know about you guys in the live chat, but anytime Cass and Spencer were on screen together, all I kept thinking was, please just work together.
Right.
Yes. I would love to see that you guys put your differences aside and be like this powerhouse.
Well, that's why it's so surprising that actually did happen.
Mm-hmm. And that's like almost the ultimate redemption second chance story. You know what I mean? Like these are, you know, this is the person that you did not want to work with coming into this. You know, you guys were enemies on your season's pass and now you're going to work together. Like,
I'm just still so surprised by Cass for doing that.
Yeah. Like, I'm we'll surprised get into by that. Her we'll whole episode. I was just like, where did you come from? And also, thank you for arriving.
Yeah.
Well, they both seem to be playing it cool, but even Cass in her interview was like, I would love to get Spencer out again. I wanted to play Second Chance without the Bledsoe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Cass seems to have it out for Spencer.
Spencer Bledsoe, 0% chance of winning Survivor, which makes me think that he has a big chance of winning Survivor.
When I heard that soundbite, I go, I wonder if Cass's demise is ultimately going to be Spencer. Like, Spencer's going to be the reason
and
why
she's
Cass
the,
is
the one that saved
out.
Him.
Exactly.
I can see Spencer, like, winning this whole thing.
I can too. And everyone is, every time I watch the East Coast feed on a live stream, and there's a live chat that goes on all the time, and I just don't understand the Spencer hate. I just don't see what other people see in the hate of Spencer. I think he's playing a great game. He's the only one that I think that's really grasping the idea of evolving. We talk about this every after show, so I'm going to bat for Spencer once again because I find him to be really compelling to watch.
Do you find that people don't like his personality more or they don't like his game strategy?
It might just be his personality. But I feel like if you haven't met him in person, like I can see maybe why. But I've had the pleasure of interacting with him quite a few times, and I've really enjoyed getting to know Spencer and meeting him. He's a really good guy.
I can kind of see, like, maybe what they mean. Because, like, at first when I saw Spencer, I'm like, he seems a little, like, too much. Like, a little over the top. Like, maybe a little fake even. But the more that you see him going on and on and on, like, now I love Spencer. Like, I just want, I want great things for him. He really does have a huge heart. You know, you can see the people that are working with him on Survivor. Like, even Savage. He's like, if I could have a son, I would want him to be exactly like Spencer.
Him.
You know, like, he has such a big heart. He's such a good guy. And everybody on Survivor seems to love him. I mean, besides Cass. But that, like, shows really to his character.
And I even feel like with Cass, it's more of a love to hate.
Exactly.
Yeah, but since you did mention Savage, we'll change gears here. Savage is feeling great about this new tribe.
Yeah,
he's like, I have ties with Abby and Wu from Angkor, Sierra and Cass from the original Bayan, and Spencer's on the outs. So Savage's like, I'm sitting pretty right now. He's feeling, like, kind of in control.
Yeah. He said that having that meal was literally one of the best moments of his life, was winning that after coming from Angkor and, like, losing and having all that, like, stuff happened to them, like, being able to actually have this meal and win and be on a tribe that he wants to be on, like, it was one of the most beautiful moments of his life.
That's true.
I thought that was sweet.
That's true.
Because it's those little moments in life that really make you realize, you know, how great some things can be.
I don't know what it is. Like, at first, like, I was really happy for him. Like, he's super happy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the scheming that started to make me feel like, ah, dang, man. Like, you know? Like,
well, especially now.
Soak that in for, like, two more seconds.
Right.
But, you know, he's really playing the game.
And how can, like, anybody ever trust him now? After, you know, like, Spencer obviously knows his motives and what happened.
Oh, man.
Absolutely.
So now it's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone in the live chat, for the most part, we have Sheena 1, 2, 3. Gijon Halili. I totally probably butchered that and I apologize in advance. Myself, Tori Brewster. Everyone's commenting right now thinks that he's awesome. And mm-hmm. I'm happy to see all the Spencer love in our AfterBuzz TV live chat right now. That's great. Right. Now we have Sierra. We finally get some airtime with Sierra tonight, and I'm loving every second that she's on the TV screen. Yes. She's obviously feeling a little uncomfortable because Spence Savage, feeling so secure in his little alliances here, starts to tell people, like, hey, let's just tell Spencer that Sierra is going to go home, and then we all vote for Spencer. And Sierra's like, hold the phone.
Yeah.
Loyalties lie. You know, this is where she kind of sees where Savage's loyalties lie, that he would rather throw her under the bus, but not Wu. Mm-hmm. When Wu's an original Takeo member. So this starts to get Sierra's gears sort of rolling, which sets the tone for later in the episode.
Maybe it's just me. I don't think I really see that big of a deal in this.
I mean, I totally see where she's coming from. I think maybe if Savage had gone about it a different way, possibly, like maybe if he came to her from the get-go,
who do you guys think we can throw out there? You know, just someone volunteer.
Exactly. If he's like, hey, you know, I would put my name, but I don't think that makes sense and I think your name makes the most sense because of whatever, you know what I mean? Like maybe he laid it out to her first and approached her with that, but I think because it kind of seemed like he was already talking about it, he's like, hey, this is what we're going to do with MC Arrow, before she even like came up, you know, his mind was set, you know? But like, why would you think of me, you know? So I can totally see where she feels kind of betrayed and like, I don't know.
Do you think that a little better?
Yeah, totally.
Do you think that she thinks that like Savage will like maybe vote her out next? Is that what she's thinking?
I think that by making that kind of decision, it just, you know, put in her mind that, oh, I'm sort of maybe a little more disposable, or maybe like in his mind, I'm at the bottom. Right. You know what I mean?
Because I'm like, just thinking like, you know, if I was like one of the smaller girls on the tribe, like, you know, if they were just like, oh, Paige, we're going to throw your name out there. Like,
right.
Well, who knows what I would feel in that situation, you know? But like being one of like the smaller like girls, not one of the bigger guys, like Savage is obviously not going to be one of those people. Like, I don't know. I don't think it would have been that big of a deal. But I kind of understand what you're saying with like he should have came to her first and, you know, asked about it. But
right. And not to mention, like, she's been so under the radar this whole season so far. Like, you know, for her name to even, like, come up and for
she's
her to be
probably
on the
nervous,
spot, she's like, probably tripped out a little bit. I totally understand
And they all kept saying, like, don't worry. Like, it's not actually going to happen. Like, don't worry. And,
but even then, it's like, even if you tell me that, sometimes you've seen on Survivor, things flip and that person goes home. So.
But they all, like, I know.
I mean, Wu went home. Wu went home.
Someone loves Wu a lot.
Didn't even, like, totally come up.
That's what you were saying
before. Like, at the very end, you know?
Name has never been thrown around
up until now.
Up until right now. Good. Up until he left.
So awesome.
I can't believe it.
I'm sorry.
Well, the new Bayonne tribe is a little interesting dynamic because, of course, everyone thinks that this the original Bayonne alliance is still a thing, which is mind-boggling to me because we've seen on previous seasons of Survivor that, yes, right off the bat, going into a merge situation or any sort of switch, it makes sense to stick with your original tribe mates because that's the easy thing to do. But I'm thinking, now that the game has shuffled so many times, why do people still have this mentality of, oh, the original Bayonne is still sticking together?
Right,
I'm sorry, what? It's a new game every time it switches up.
Right,
so
exactly.
Play with the cards that you're dealt with and forget about the original Bayonne because
that's longer like three.
A thing.
Exactly. Three tribes
you
ago.
Haven't even talked to these people in how long?
In how many?
Yeah, way too much of change. I mean, I think it'd be almost kind of naive to try to, you know, stick with your original alliances.
So weird.
Yeah, because you don't know what kind of other packs they've made and what's going on in between there. Yeah.
But I definitely loved the interaction. This is so, like, kind of off topic because it wasn't even a pivotal part of the night. The interaction between Kimmy and Keith when they were, like, at the campfire was hilarious to me because you can just tell that they're, like, kind of cut from the same cloth. So I just, I hope to see a little bit of a relationship or maybe some sort of, like, common ground and loyalty between Keith and Kimmy. It would be a very interesting duo.
That's interesting. Yeah. I feel like we do, like, almost every episode, we get a little bit of, like, a personality clip of Keith, you know? Like,
just,
you know,
yeah, a little
something that kind of makes us, like, just adore him a little more, you know?
It's true.
While that little interaction is happening at the campfire, Joe and Wentworth are in the hammocks, and Joe flat out says, you might have to do some work because you're Takeo, so you're the easy vote right now. Mm-hmm. And Joe is also kind of like Savage, you know, after the tribe's swap, I'm in a good spot. And Kelly, of course, is like, I know I'm the easy vote. I'm not oblivious, but I have the hidden immunity idol. And if I have to hide behind Joe for as long as I can, I'm going to do it.
Smart.
So I have hope for Kelly. I think that she right now seems like the obvious target, but there's so much happening on this new Bayonne.
Yeah, with Joe being on her side.
I agree.
Dodge the bullet there.
Yeah, she has immunity idol.
And a lot of times what we've seen is that sometimes the vote that is like kind of, you know, maybe the easy one out is also sometimes the deciding factor, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of times we see that they end up being the most important vote instead of, you know?
Exactly.
Abby kind of did that a little bit, so,
Well, Steven is talking about how Joe is already trying to get out the Corbyon Alliance. Again, who cares? It's the original alliance is like, should not even be a thing anymore. Mm-hmm. To turn on each other. So Jeremy, he talks to Jeremy about how Joe wants to flip on the Bayonne Alliance. He's throwing Kimmy's name out there. Jeremy's not having it. Mm-hmm. And Steven's like, this is Survivor. You've got to take action. But Steven wants to take out Joe now. So Jeremy's a little like, whoa, 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 you're bugging.
You're bugging.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You're bugging, dude. Yeah. He's like, all right, just think about it.
Yeah, and Jeremy's smart. Like what he said about, you know, I need another shield, you know?
Exactly.
And man, that's two people now that are using Joe as kind of like, oh, let me follow you or let me hide behind you. Like,
exactly.
Man, Joe's killing it.
And even said, I need Joe in this game as long as possible. Exactly. Because I don't want to be the biggest guy out here.
Right.
So Jeremy seems to be playing his cards like close to his chest, and they were really observant.
Before Joe got thrown in this mix, they were trying to send Kimmy home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I mean, at least they didn't have to decide, so.
Well, this is kind of what propels the most awkward moment of the episode, if I do say so myself. When Steven gets a little emotional, it made me really uncomfortable. It was just kind of awkward. I don't know about you guys in the live chat, if you feel the same way, but
it was just because his voice went so high.
It was just like he couldn't form a sentence and like his words were all over the place. But it wasn't like chopped up editing wise. It was like this full on clip of like,
right.
I'm like, oh my God.
I'm glad that they did that though, because that like really shows you like the raw emotion that you have like going into this game and then like being out on a beach with nothing, you know, for however many days, and he's just emotional, and I like that it showed the whole thing, you know, and shows how much he really wants this, and he really, really, really wants a second chance.
Well, and he said, if I can get my alliance to make this move with me, then I failed. You don't get that many shots in the game of Survivor to take out your major competition, and that I can totally agree with mm-hmm. him on, but it's just, I just don't think Steven has what it takes to win.
Right.
And that might be a little harsh because I know there's a lot of Steven fans out there, but I just can't see him winning Survivor.
I think
that on his original season of Survivor Token Sheens, he set himself up to have a really great relationship with JT, who was the golden boy of that season. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what we saw with Steven and him were like this bounce off collaboration of strategy. But Steven, to me, just it's like if he doesn't have someone, then there's just no game there mm-hmm. for him. Do you think that's a fair statement?
No, I totally agree.
Yeah, I totally see what you're saying. And I think that's kind of why he's sort of like zoning in on Joe a little bit, you know, because he's kind of, you know, taking what he had from his season, feeling like, oh, you know, I want to prove that I don't need to just hang on to this one strong guy, that I can be my own character and, you know, be mm-hmm. my own like player in the game. But I don't know how much that's going to work out for him. And what you were saying, like, about the whole, like, you know, his little monologue pretty much. Like,
yeah.
I totally see what you're saying. Like, I feel for him, too. But I was also kind of annoyed, too, because, like, a part of me feels like...
Get it together.
Yes! Maybe if you're crying about, I miss my family.
Right.
This is hard.
Right,
whatever.
Right.
Fool, you are complaining that you can't make the right moves.
Right.
And that you're trying to get out Joe, who everybody likes. Like, no!
I will give you that. You're right. Complain about
someone a little bit better.
That's the thing, is like he is so doubtful about himself. Like it showed completely right there.
Like even Jeremy, I mean, because it's easy to be like, no, like be stronger, be more confident. But already it's getting to the point where people are just getting frustrated. Where mm-hmm. Jeremy's like, dude, be confident because we're already confident in you. You know?
Because I mean, we've seen that a couple times now when, you know, Steven leaves after, you know, messing up his part of the challenge and being like, I'm so sorry, guys. I'm really sorry. You know, like. He feels bad, but everybody's like, okay, come on. If you're just a little more confident, you can do it.
Yeah, and it's not even just challenges. Around camp, you know, like little tasks and things that he tries to do, and he gets down on himself. It's like, I'm getting over it.
Yeah.
Charlie Rose in the live chat said he doesn't have it to win. He's too scared. And I agree. I think that's the problem with Steven this season, is that there's so much pressure, mm-hmm. and it's Steven's cracking in that pressure. It's like, mm-hmm. this is my second chance to not mess up. And like, I've waited so long for this moment, but it's like, that's almost kind of being detrimental to his emotional and mental state out there. And if it's like, if you can't grab onto that, you're going to go home. And it's just, he's cracking and he's breaking. And I'm sad to see that because I think Steven is a fun character. Like, I liked him on Token Sheens, but this season, it just, it's just not there for me.
I just
something's
wanted to
lacking.
Gain some more confidence.
Yeah.
Right.
And exactly. He said, I put so much into the game last time and came up short, and I'm putting so much into it this time, and the idea of coming up short because I couldn't get my crew to take the shot that we needed and taking out the golden boy, since that's not what I did last time. It's like Steven is just living in the past.
He's
so
living on this
much.
Golden boy
right.
idea when that yes. shouldn't be what he's living on
exactly.
right now.
No, because he should know that at some point Joe will go home.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Steven just needs to play it cool. So exactly. hopefully we'll see some evolution with Steven and his gameplay, because right now I'm worried for him and I'm a little bummed. I'm just bummed with
yeah.
where he's at.
Right. Because I don't think anyone sees him as a threat. So I feel
no.
like it'd be so easy for him to just
slide
fly
under
the
radar.
So slow your roll and keep calm.
Keep
and
calm.
Stop living in the past and focus on the now.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So this leads us to our immunity challenge, which is, of course, a Survivor favorite.
Oh, my God.
It's definitely been around for 14 seasons, which is insane. The Cambodian delicacy eating competition happened this evening, and they've done this challenge, like I said, 14 times in the series. Wigglesworth was the originator of this in season 1. Kimmy on season 2 couldn't get that cow brain down. Savage on Pearl Islands, and Sierra from Blood vs. Water. So this is kind of redemption for all four of those contestants. Mm-hmm. I hate the food eating challenges. It makes my stomach squirm.
Especially when they puke.
Right. I can barely get through watching it.
Honestly, like, okay, the tarantula was very bad to me. The rest of them, like, I was like, okay, maybe. For some reason, the pig snout was the
yeah,
absolute number one worst to me. Like, I don't know why that was
it looked
worse.
Gummy. I'm sorry, I'm like,
had
making
some
this
hairs.
Noise.
It was like, exactly. It was like hairy and like gummy. And like, okay, honestly, eating a brain is terrible. Eating a tarantula is terrible, but the ooh. Nose, like a pig snout, I don't know. For me personally, that just makes me want to yak.
Yeah, it was rough. Rough goings.
But who was it? Shoved it right in their mouth.
Kelly Wentworth.
Kelly Wentworth. Mm-hmm. She just, Kelly, and who was the other one?
I can't remember.
Anybody know?
I don't. I have the pairings. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm just reading one of the comments in the live chat. Ad Wanted Paradise said, Survivor legend Lex, who is from Survivor Africa, Survivor All-Stars, is dissing Abby on Twitter. So I'm like, I need to see this because I'm definitely curious to know what is being said. But anyway.
Anyways, that pig snout, though.
The pig snout. That pig snout. It was Fishback and Wentworth versus Cass and Abby during that matchup. Mm.
But Fishback got
it. Oh, he was
it.
Like, no problem.
No problem.
And same with Wentworth.
Oh, that's
they've
right,
eaten
yeah.
pig snouts before.
Yeah, this challenge is interesting because you really don't know who's going to be the strong
right.
one in this challenge. And that's what I loved because, you know, like, obviously with Steven, I was kind of surprised. I was like, dang,
yeah.
get it. Like, you
I was
know,
so
that
happy
was mentally
for him too.
Strong for him. Yeah.
I was so
and then
happy.
It came to Joe, and I was kind of like, whoa, wait, Joe can't really hang.
Yeah.
He's a little baby bite.
Joe can't hang.
He's like,
what
you
he
wanted
eating?
A little bit, maybe chew a little bit more. I don't even know. It was, I don't know. I forgot who
that
was.
That fried frog didn't look too bad.
No. The fried frog would have been probably the easiest one.
Right. But there was another one that was like, it was like a water beetle. I was like, that would have been all right.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
When you bite into it and the juice.
The juice.
Oh.
The juice. Yeah, the juice. Yeah. You're right. Okay.
I have a thing. I cannot eat things that look at me. It just freaks
yeah.
me
that's
out.
That's why the only thing with the fried frog was that you could see its eyes still. That was the only thing.
Same
yeah,
with
it was good for you.
Beetle.
Yeah, the water beetle. But would you rather eat that tarantula?
Yeah, let's talk about, let's just weigh out the pros
okay.
and cons.
Okay.
The tarantula, giant water beetle, pig snout, deep fried frog.
Oh yeah, number
pig
one.
Pig brain, scorpion, and balut. Of all of them, balut's the one I would not want. At
so
all.
That's,
really?
So
I
that,
would eat
I
anything
could
else.
Balut.
What did you say that was?
It's like an underdeveloped,
ovary,
like, chicken.
Or something.
Like,
embryo.
Embryo.
Ovary.
Embryo. I'm like, excuse
me. We said ovary.
Right now? Yeah, right? So it's an embryo, underdeveloped. But it kind of just looks like an egg.
Yeah, to me, I would be
like,
all right,
egg.
A bad
but
egg.
But sometimes the beak and the feathers are in that. That's like how disgusting. And I'm a texture person. So if I am crunching on something and then it's slimy the next bite. No.
I wouldn't even know what that was, so I feel like I would have been able to get it down, okay? But, like, what was weird, too, was Jeremy went up at that and was like, I'm like,
yeah.
It couldn't have been that bad, right?
Guajoni Halili, again, sorry if I'm totally butchering your name, says balut tastes so good.
Really?
No.
To me, that
no,
seemed like
you.
The easiest, the most relatable, I guess.
The balut? See, the fried frog to me was like, ooh, I mean fried chicken.
Well, we saw Wigglesworth go at it like a beast.
Yeah.
It's like she just...
Got
showed
it.
No mercy, shoved
right.
the whole
redemption.
Thing in her mouth,
yeah.
and obviously killed it for Takeo in that round.
Wait,
but
Kelly Wigglesworth.
Yeah, went for that deep fried
okay,
frog.
Can we talk about Kimmy for a second?
Oh,
this is okay. I love Kimmy. And, you know, from a reality television perspective, like, when you apply for these shows and you are going to be filmed as a contestant, I know firsthand, like, that they know all of your dietary restrictions. They know what your life is like outside of this. They know what you can and can't eat, what you mm-hmm. choose to eat, and what you don't eat. So I feel like prior to this, like, it's already set up for Kimmy to fail. Mm-hmm. And I felt terrible for Kimmy because, yeah, like, if you're conflicted with, like, whatever your beliefs are on eating meat, then I just felt sorry for Kimmy. I mean, that's just me.
I did not feel sorry for her, and that might be kind of harsh. But, okay, well, first of all, let's go back. She was in the first challenge with the tarantula.
Yes.
So,
I give her credit for that.
Why?
Because she did it.
No, she didn't. Everybody else was going after the tarantula. She took one of the legs.
The legs.
Bit the leg. Mm-hmm. Ate a little bit of the rest of the leg. Then took one other leg and was just like kind of going like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like she did not eat that tarantula. She was kicking it.
Get it.
She was kicking it. She was not trying to have it. I'm like, okay, we'll see what happens. Then we get to the pig brain and she's like, well, I haven't eaten pig
in 30 years.
This also isn't the pig, the actual pig. You know, it's a brain. It would be like kind of like a brain on any of the other animals. Right?
Right.
What's the difference?
I've never had a pig.
It's not their meat. You know right. what I'm saying? It's a brain. So if it was a cup, or if it was
just like this pig could have gone on without, you know, its nose, it didn't even
right. matter. If it was like a chicken brain, would yeah. she have eaten that? You know, for me, it's just kind of more like you're coming onto this game to win. If you really want to win that bad, you're going to put it aside for 5 seconds, eat it, get over it, and be done. I mean, I don't have restrictions like that with my eating, so I mm-hmm. can't really talk, but... You know, just from, like, a perspective of a game mentality, if you want to win that bad and you want to win for your tribe.
And I've seen, like, on Amazing Race, to go off topic for a second, Nat and Kat, they're the first all-female team to win the Amazing Race. Mm-hmm. One of them doesn't eat meat and had it in years. And one of the tasks on one of the legs was to eat, like, a cow head or something mm-hmm. crazy. And she did it.
And she did.
Exactly. And then at the end of the day, it paid off. She won $1 million.
Exactly.
So I see what you're saying in that argument, but at the same time, it's like... I feel like she was set up to fail.
Well,
like,
that girl might have been too,
knew.
Though.
That's true.
On Amazing Race, right. And she still did it.
Exactly.
And
you know, I think it's more like a mental thing, you know? It's not like you exactly. physically can't do it. You know, it's kind of what are you willing to do
right.
for this money hey, and for your team? That's
I like
the question.
That. Exactly. Okay.
What are you willing to do for you?
And
that's a good point.
If her team would have lost, they could have very well lost because of that one.
Kimmy would have gone home.
And she would have gone home. Right. So, you know, it's kind of like for her, what's more worth it? She's lucky that her team still won.
Right. But, right. And you kind of say, like, you know, they set her up for failure, but they probably did it on purpose. You know, they want to be,
yeah,
exactly. They want it to be the hardest thing for her to get over.
Right.
Yes. Do you think if it was something else that she would have, you know, been cool with it, or is it just like,
she didn't seem cool with the tarantula
oh,
legs?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, and even if they lost, I don't know if Kimmy would have gone.
She could have right. though, because her name was being thrown around.
True.
You know, like it's possible.
True.
Hmm. So many
she was
questions.
Stirring up stuff last
episode. She was stirring. She's stirring.
She's stirring.
She's bugging.
Yeah. So the final matchup came down to Cass and Tasha, two original Cagayan cast members. Came down to Baloo.
Ooh,
Tasha
yeah.
schooled Cass.
Dang.
Won the competition
Showing
for the
all.
New Bayonne tribe.
Tasha loved it.
Which sends Takeo to like, tribal council. But before yeah. we move forward and talk about the shenanigans that went down before Tribal Council, I just want to remind all of you who are watching right now to rate, comment, and subscribe to the Survivor After Show here at AfterBuzzTV.com. And also keep the live conversation going in the chat right now because you guys are saying so much. I'm trying to keep up with you guys the best that I can. But even throughout the week, keep the conversation going by mm-hmm. hashtagging ABTV Survivor so we can find your tweets and chime in on your opinions as well.
For sure.
Yes.
Awesome. So I loved the scrambling that happened before Tribal Council. At this point, I was really worried for Spencer. I
yeah.
thought Spencer for sure was going to be sent home.
But if we know anything from what's happened this season...
Anything can happen. So Wu is now saying, you know, now if everything goes according to plan, we're going to vote out Spencer. Savage is asking for reassurance from his tribe mates that, like, you know, everyone knows the plan, right? Like, we're going to tell Spencer that Sierra's going to go, but we're all going to vote for Spencer. And then Wu, again, says, bless his heart, to be amongst the majority, I'm finally in tune with this game. I get to play.
Right
Wu,
there.
Wu, honey, you've been playing since day one of this game, and you have not played it. You
right,
just
yeah.
haven't.
Right.
Like, I get
heart,
the Wu. Appeal of Wu. He's great television. He's a good character. He was interesting to watch on Cagayan. But he is not a player
not
of
a
Survivor
player.
At all.
No.
I don't think he understands it still to this day
right.
how to play Survivor.
Oh, yeah, he's in it. He's there.
But
you're
he's
part
not
of the
playing
show.
It.
Yeah.
And just because you're in the majority doesn't mean
like
that you're
this.
Finally getting to play.
I don't like
it. It was really funny to me when he said, you know, I'm finally in tune with this game, and I'm like, what?
Right when he said that, I turned his in, I'm like, something's gonna happen with Ooh, mm-hmm. just because of that sound bite.
Just a little clip, yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. Mm. No, but I totally know what you mean. He's just, he doesn't seem to be aware enough, no. you know?
Like, but, I mean, he's great in challenges, yeah. which, oh, yeah, know, he's great is in challenges. An aspect of the competition of Survivor. But it's not the entirety of it.
Right. And he's a nice guy. He's someone easy to, like, drag along, which can be good for you if you know how to work that and play it. But I don't think he does.
Like, I want to hang out. Drag along. Yeah. Like, I want to hang out with Woo. Like, outside.
Right. Have a beer.
Right.
Chill.
Have a beer with Woo. Hang out. Woo.
Right.
Call me.
Okay. But would I count on you to win me $1 million? I don't know. Yeah.
I would count on him to win some challenges, though.
Right. Yeah.
We see conversations spark up between Spencer and Savage. They're discussing how Sierra needs to go. Spencer's all like, he's a really good guy and someone that I think I can trust. And I'm thinking, oh no, Spencer, you're totally eating out of the palm of his hand.
Well, yeah. It seemed like he didn't believe Cass at first when she was telling him
True.
That. Yeah. He was like, when did he say this?
Right.
Why did he say this? Who did he say it to?
Because he played with Cass before and knows that she's infamous for chaos Cass. Exactly. So it's like, is she saying this just to like stir the pot and be facetious?
Which I could say. Because of all the mouths for that to come out of, like really Cass is going to be the one to come up and try to save me? Really?
Why? Just like what good out of this for Cass is going to save him?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Percy in the live chat weighing in on the conversation says, "Woo is a French fry short of a Happy Meal."
Aww.
So funny. Well, the biggest move, and I think is one of the a contender for tonight's MVP title, is Sierra. She said, I don't feel comfortable with my name being thrown out there. Who does he think he is? Especially when he was all about Bayonne being strong, and now he has Wu, who was original to KO. It freaks me out. So she's having this conversation in the jungle with Cass and Abby Maria. And of course, Abby Maria's, I can just picture what was going through in her mind. Yeah, I'll take a bite of that cake because Wu's been voting for me 3 times already.
Oh, yeah. You put my name. Second time you write my name.
Yeah.
But
so that's kind of the move that planted all these seeds of like maybe Wu should be voted out tonight. And Cass did say, I didn't want to play with Spencer. But then you have to take a step back and say, is there a better use for Spencer now? Which I think is kind of a
So she's thinking good more
mindset.
Of his gameplay now?
Yeah.
Rather than okay.
Yeah, and man, she came to play because I was ultimately surprised that Cass was the one to make these. You know, I mean, because you would think like, oh, Sierra, obviously she's the one that was hurt, and she initially put the wheel in motion, but Cass just kept that going. Like I was surprised. Like
That's
she totally
crazy,
showed up to play
though.
Out
it's
of nowhere.
Because if it wouldn't have been for Sierra, Spencer would be gone.
Right.
And she was. I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, that's so true.
I'm happy that Spencer is still there. I'm just not totally sold on the whole fact that they voted for Wu. Like, it just, I don't know, it just doesn't 100% make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I knew that they were going to go with Wu because Cass is trying to play this, like, I don't know which one's here tonight. I don't know who I'm voting for. And I'm like, if you knew that you were voting for Spencer, you wouldn't have gone up to him in the first place and stirred up all this trouble. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, you wouldn't have said anything to him in the first place. So, obviously, Wu's going home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a tribal council... All I kept thinking was, please don't be Spencer. Please don't be Spencer. Please don't be Spencer.
Yeah.
But I also was thinking, who are we going to see tonight? Are we going to see Chaos Cast or are we going to see Calm Cast? Because it seems like Calm Cast.
Calm Cast.
I was like, oh gosh, this is going to be interesting because it could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting that Cass
has
the fate of two of her original Cagayan cast members in her hands.
Yeah, so true.
One of them being the Bledsoe.
So true. One of the things I wasn't crazy about, though, at Tribal Council, she was like, I don't know who's here. I don't know if it's Chaos Cast or... You know? I was like, why would you show your cards like that? You know what I mean? Like, you were on this whole, like, redemption trail, and, you know, not everyone, but at least we felt like, oh, maybe we can trust you a little more, and now you're going to say that? I don't know. Like... Yeah, like, it's cool to play games, but maybe play a little closer to your chest.
So we had Savage, Wu, and Wigglesworth vote for...
Spencer.
Mm-hmm. So Kelly didn't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Savage didn't know what was going on.
Nope, they were completely blindsided by the results.
Why did you... Mm-hmm. I mean, why didn't the rest of them let the other two in on... They were just like, we're just going to let them do what they want?
Yeah.
Because they already had the majority.
They would have scrambled and tried to, like...
Scrambled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, if they're going to commit to this plan, we don't want anybody else to know because it's
Poor
too many cooks in the kitchen.
He had no idea.
And we need just enough numbers, you know?
Right.
They don't have to have all the
numbers. Well, and I also found it kind of annoying that, you know, Propes does this every tribal council, but, you know, if you really listen to what he's asking the contestants.
So leading.
It's so, like, leading them on, like, things that they should be aware about or think about. Like, when one thing that really stuck out to me tonight was Cass goes, I don't know which Cass is here tonight. And then Probst goes immediately to Savage and says, well, that must be a little unnerving. Or is she going to blindside you? And I'm thinking, of course, you're literally feeding Savage this idea that, you know, you should think about it because she's going to blindside you. That's the way I took it.
Oh, totally. Like, Probst always does that with his questions.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
And sometimes I wonder, like, how much of, like, the social, you know, games that they're already playing, is he aware of?
Because how can Probst know that much if he's not sleeping with them?
Are you just picking these questions he's one of, like, off the head of just talking?
So he's got to have some idea going into tribal council what questions to ask. But it's just some of those questions I'm thinking, okay, you're really pressing.
Exactly.
You're pressing it, and you're kind of crossing a fine line.
Like, almost playing the game a little bit, you think?
Yeah. So, of course, 3-3, so nerve-wracking. One vote left. And Wu got the fourth and final vote, which sent him packing on tonight's episode, Bunking with the Devil. Great episode overall.
So and he said Loved even he was like so total, good. Total blindsided. And of course, at the end, Wu is just the sweetest guy.
Yeah.
Nice Wu, like always. He's like, you know, I'm just so happy that I got this chance.
Well, let's talk about our Fantasy League teams really fast before we wrap up. I decided not to trade Monica for Terry because on the Fantasizer League, the way the scoring works is that if someone got medevaced or quit the game, you would lose points.
Oh.
So I was worried that if Terry did leave tonight and I had him on my team, I would have lost points. Wow. So I kept it safe and did not.
Susanna's going so strong.
Gosh.
Love so now my I've team. Had three people I voted. I've had three people voted off my team. But I switched with Marina, so I had two extra ones. So now I only have one person, but like my team was terrible. Yeah. I got everybody voted off. Who's on it? Vitus and
PG. It's really, I think we all have really great teams where it's, I think anyone has the potential to win. Well, I mean, poor Steven, I just think he's just too on his head that I don't see him.
I think I've got strong players in Jeremy and Tasha.
I think Jeremy and Tasha are in it for the long haul. I think Savage is going to get a little too cocky and overconfident, which will be what sends him packing.
And he's not trustworthy anymore, technically, you know.
So I think your two contenders, Paige, are definitely Jeremy and Tasha.
Yeah, for absolutely. Sure.
Susanna, how do you feel about your team?
I still love my team. I adore them for different reasons.
Yeah.
Like, I'm almost surprised that Keith is kind of still around.
I love your team.
I love them. I just love them. Yeah. I like them as people, you know, like how they're playing it. I love. I'm a little worried about Kelly because she hasn't really been playing much of a game. You know?
Where is she? She's kind of invisible.
She's almost there.
She's participating. She's, you know, she's killing it in a lot of the challenges, but yeah, she's not really like doing much of a social game. So I'm kind of worried about her. Sierra and Cass, I'm not worried about their social game at all. They're going to be so much fun to watch. Keith is always adorable. And I think he's going to be one of those where he kind of just slides under the radar for a while because no one's going to see him as a threat.
Exactly.
Joe is doing a great job at being, you know, that alpha male, being a super threat, but playing it, you know? Like, he's doing great at every A-plus on everything, every challenge, everything, like, around the beach.
I mean.
Right?
Yo, everybody Joga, knows that they
all
need
day
him.
Day.
Right.
I just, yeah.
Sheena123 is predicting in the live chat, Susanna, that he thinks that you are going to lose your first member next week.
I can see it, Sheena.
I think it'll be Cass for sure.
Yeah, it might be coming. Yeah, Cass is stirring
They're
up a little
her up
too
a little
much
too
trouble.
Much.
Yeah, you're right. And I wouldn't blame him.
I wouldn't be sad. I wouldn't be sad.
Yeah.
I love my team for the most part. I only have Abby Maria on there because she's good at racking in the points for me. I love Kimmy because she's an old schooler, but I think Spencer and Wentworth are my top two contenders.
So yeah.
I think those two really have the potential to go far and deep into this competition. So I'm excited.
We think if one person on James' team were to win, it'd be Spencer.
Yes.
If one person on my team were to win, it'd be Tasha, probably.
Uh-huh.
Or Jeremy.
I would actually say Jeremy
are the two that have the idols.
That's true. And what about on your team? Who do we think is the number one?
I don't know. Like, I feel like none of mine are, like, super, super strong, but they've all been, like, strong enough to get as far as they have, you know? But
I would say Sierra.
Yeah? Like, as far as, like, maybe winning it, yeah, Sierra.
And maybe Keith.
Keith, I feel like, might end up doing something. Yeah. So.
Oh, it's so interesting. Likeable. Everyone in the live chat, let us know whose team are you on. Are you on Team James? Are you on Team Paige? Are you on Team Susanna? Really quick predictions, and then we're going to wrap things up. Paige, who's going home next week?
Cass.
Susanna, who's going home next week.
Cass.
And I'm going to say Cass as well. They're just playing her up a little too much. And I think the chaos is ultimately going to be the reason why people give her the boot.
If we're right, though, I'll be surprised because we've voted on someone every week and we've always been wrong because they always switch it up the last second. Abby. So,
Cass,
Abby's not going home.
I think her time has run short. All right, well, that wraps up Bunking with the Devil. Yeah. Great recap. Wonderful conversation going on in the live chat. There's 33 people watching right now, so thank all of you at home for watching. Paige, where can they find you on social media?
You guys can find me on social media at Paige Bunnell.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Susanna_Kim and on Instagram at Susanna Kim.
You can find me on Twitter at James Wallington and on Instagram at James.Wallington. And last but not least, don't forget, I tweeted out a link. If you want to have an update on Terry and his son, Danny, there was a really wonderful 2-minute clip in honor of both of them. And I tweeted it. It's on CBS.com. So definitely go check that out to get an update on how his family is doing. Yay. And we will see you next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Bye, guys.
See you guys.
See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.